All right, let's welcome to our program. We have John Gardner IV, or G4, all right, who we have met. All right, as soon as we just met outside, I'm like, okay, I remember you, yeah. at the, you know, talking about this new road, Bowlesburg to Potter's Mills and so on. There was a big production at, I'm sorry, I still call it the Elks Club. It's a Ramada now. Okay, cool Ramada. Over in Bowlesburg. John, when was that? How many weeks ago was that now? Do you recall?
I think it may have been about like 2 months or so, or maybe a little less, actually.
I was going to say, it wasn't 2 months. It was, well, it was a few weeks ago, whatever it was, all right? And I remember I just went over there to, you know, there were tons, and for folks that went, there were all these displays and maps and videos and people answering questions about the proposed new road and all this sort of stuff. It was, the room was full of people. I mean, it was full of people. And I'm milling about, and I come across this person and who starts talking to me about trains. And I'm thinking, okay, trains, all right, we're here to talk about a road. And this person kept talking about trains. I'm like, okay, I love trains. I think trains are cool. That was you.
That was me.
That was you, all right. So,
funny how we reconnected.
You've got a very, well, we'll talk about the whole thing, but you have a very interesting website with a big, long name.
CenterCountyHighwayRevolt.org.
.org. All one word, CenterCountyHighwayRevolt.org. And we'll get into more of that in a little bit. All right, we're supposed to call you G4, all right, because you're John Gardner IV. All right, that's fine. All right,
there G4. Are too many Johns in the world, and my personality is too unique to go by that name.
Hey, makes that's cool. Sense. All right, G4, let's start from scratch. Tell us something right into the mic there. Tell us something about yourself, you know, your background. I assume you love trains. I mean, tell us about you.
Well, I am a graduate student at the Huck Institute for Life Sciences. I am currently earning my PhD in molecular and astrobiology, mostly focusing on staph infections and how Staphylococcus aureus interfaces with the immune system. This is all something that I've done in my free time. So I've gotten together with a couple of friends, and we're trying to lead our own highway revolt against PennDOT and the new 322 project, both to help preserve and protect Penn's Valley and its historic character, but also to, instead of just being unhelpful NIMBYs and saying no, we're trying to provide an alternative project which we think will be much better for both our tax dollars and for the economy of Center County.
All right. Okay. You're studying what again?
Molecular and astrobiology.
Uh-huh. Okay, that's way over my head. Holy smokes. That sounds, I'm a space geek. So astrobiology, what is astrobiology exactly?
It's basically what NASA does. So if you're already spending billions of dollars to send a rover to Mars, an astrobiologist would ask the question, what does the rover look for once you've gotten it there? It's obviously a lot more complicated, but you can basically simplify it down into to two sides of the coin. The first one is what type of molecules are distinctly unique of life and not some random geologic process. And then of those molecules, which ones survive billions of years through the geologic record so that you can actually test them with a small rover-level experiment rather than needing to grab a giant scoop of Mars and bring it back here for analysis.
Or we send people there and they do it.
Exactly, yes. That was actually one of the major things of the later Apollo missions. The astronauts were thoroughly trained in geology in order to be basically the geologists on the ground for all the scientists back home.
Yeah, okay. That's pretty cool stuff.
Very cool.
Very cool.
Thank you.
All right, now, Center County Highway Revolt. Now, when I first saw that, I saw the word revolt, and I'm thinking, what is this? So, G4, what is this? What's going on here?
Well, it's part of a larger movement over the past, I would say, 40 to 60 years called Highway Revolts, hence the name. I think they started first in D.C. And in San Francisco in about the 1970s, when state-level DOTs and also the federal interstate system wanted to ram highways down the middle of cities, and people didn't like that. And so there was a bunch of groups that all led various highway revolts and were able to stop the highways from being built. And there are now actually a few stubs that you see in various cities where it was clear that they wanted to put a highway through things, but the citizens rallied and were able to prevent that from happening. So we're trying to lead our own lovely little highway revolt here in Center County.
All right. What's the history of this group? Because I didn't hear about this until just recently.
We mostly have come together in the past about year or so. We just launched the Highway Revolt officially last month, but we've been working on, I think I acquired the domain in at least August of last year, maybe even a little bit earlier, and we've been collecting our ideas, making a comprehensive plan, and then also gathering enough money to do a month-long statewide ad campaign from Pittsburgh to Philadelphia. We are kind of newer on the scene. They've been planning the 322 State College Area Connection for a long time, and a bunch of people didn't like that, but only now have we come together as a more formal operation in order to try and oppose it.
All right, now we, how many folks are we talking about here?
It's hard to count because a bunch of people provide only small snippets of ideas here and there. I would say in terms of the official people involved, it's mostly just me and the artist, and then we have about four or five other people who have contributed smaller portions here and there.
And you have some money for an advertising campaign.
Out of my own pocket.
Ooh, okay. So this is Center County Highway Revolt. Now, okay, if you're going to be advertising, you mentioned Philadelphia and Pittsburgh. What advertising there would do what exactly?
Because they're all part of the Commonwealth. This is a state-level thing with PennDOT, and if we only focus on the small, local, one highway at a time, then wonderful, we may have solved that one highway and protected Penns Valley, but then maybe there's another valley up there on the list that's going to have a highway through it later. What we want is a statewide reorientation of how PennDOT spends its dollars. On my end, one of the things that I contributed to the project was the financial analysis. I actually was able to pull Pennsylvania's publicly available 2024 to 2025 budget, and I saw the line item allocations that PennDOT was using for expenditures on highway and transit, both new capital expenditures and then also ongoing maintenance. And all I did was divide that by the highway lane miles that we have and then the rail miles PennDOT subsidizes, and I found that at a minimum, highways are 27% more expensive to operate than rail. Now, of course, I understand that this is America, especially you're not going to be getting rid of all cars, but also, let's be honest here, a lot of people travel from one defined area to another defined area. Most of the people going over 322 are going from Philly to State College or maybe somewhere further on, but they are not going from, I don't know, Limerick to Orviston or Ashland. So since most people go from one major location to another major location, that's something that we can solve with transit. We don't have to have a massive 200-foot-wide highway right-of-way going through the valley when you could use some of the existing rail infrastructure to carry the majority of those people.
All right. Now, you have the website is very impressive.
Thank you.
I mean, folks, check it out. Even if you think this is baloney or whatever, that's on you, okay? It's a very thorough website that you folks have put together. And there's a history of railroads here. Now, I'm assuming that's on the website somewhere. Like the past history of rail here in Center County. There was quite a bit, I think, at one point, yes?
That is correct, yes. My favorite book was Rails to Penn State. It was actually written by a faculty member at the university, and I think it's available freely to pick up at the Penn State libraries. It has maps galore. There were at least a dozen railroads.
Hmm. All right. Now, your idea is, I guess, would be called light rail for the most part, or?
Kind of. It's hard to describe in American terms. The official full name is Diesel Multiple Unit Hybrid Light Rail, but it's probably more well known in the rest of the world as something called an S-Bahn, which is kind of like a sort of regional rail system. It's not meant to move people around only inside of a single city, nor is it meant to move only people from one major city to another. It's kind of something in the middle. It's providing a regional level of transportation.
So where are they doing this?
So at least in America, probably the best example of an S-Bahn would be Philadelphia itself. You, of course, have the subways and the trolleys, which are much more urban level of transportation. And then, of course, you have Amtrak, which takes you to Washington, D.C. and Harrisburg and whatnot. But SEPTA runs the regional rail, where they have branches to Chestnut Hill, to Lansdale, Wawa. They're looking at extending it back to Westchester. And these are kind of like larger level trains that run less frequently, maybe about every half hour or so, maybe every 15 minutes during peak times. But they allow people to live farther, who are living farther out, to still get into a main job center by way of transit.
All right, now G4, every time I hear SEPTA, it normally has a negative connotation.
Yeah.
I don't hear good things about SEPTA.
Yeah, personally, I've ridden a bunch of different rail lines around the country, and SEPTA is not necessarily the best. It has great extent, it has great bones, but unfortunately, it's not funded to anywhere near the level as any of the other surrounding states, and they have to take a really tiny budget and stretch it really far. And that's part of why we're couching this as a highway revolt. We're not just advocating for a single rail line, we're just saying that transit in general is underfunded, both in this country and the state, and so what we want to do is kind of reorient how we spend things in order to give transit spending its due, rather than putting all of our chips on cars.
All right, now where would these, all right, now there are maps on your website.
Yes,
where would you put these train lines?
So the first phase, which would be cheaper than the highway, I think by at least half, or at least according to our back-of-the-envelope calculations, that would be to use the existing operating rail lines that go between Tyrone, which is the nearest Amtrak station, and then Lamont, which is, I think, less than 2 miles away from campus. So what we would want to do is just build a really short segment of track from Lamont to the edge of downtown State College where you can have a station. And that will be repurposing, again, all of the existing rail lines that, in fact, are actually government-owned by CEDACOG, the Susquehanna Economic Development Authority, Council of Governments Joint Rail Authority. So the tracks are already owned by the government. They can snap their fingers tomorrow and turn them into a passenger line if they wanted, more or less. And then if we just build that one last little gap between Lamont and State College, you have intercity rail transit that will take some of the load off of the existing 322. The second phase would be to kind of, to anybody who knows that route, it's a long, loopy one that goes all the way up to Milesburg and down through Bellefonte and the Nittany Mall, and that's not exactly a direct or speedy option. So in order to improve this, what we would want to do next is put a tunnel under Bald Eagle Mountain from Port Matilda to the Scotia Barrens. To the best of my knowledge, this is the first time in all of history that anybody has proposed an idea like this, and it will be the most direct connection from State College to Blair County, again, in all of history. So when you do that, you can then build a new line, largely repurposing the existing rail rights of way between the Scotia Barrens and campus, and then you can send the train in street trackage, like they actually do in New Jersey on the River Line, up either Calder Way or College Ave, and reconnect it with the station on the other end of downtown, and then send the trains back up to Lamont, Bellefonte, and then possibly even beyond, to say, Lockhaven. With that, you will have a much faster rail system that is actually going to be time competitive with highway travel.
All right. A tunnel.
Yes.
That sounds expensive.
It's only about $100 million a mile, which I will note, PennDOT is predicting $120 million per mile for the new highway. And if you think about it, it makes sense. It's just a matter of geometry. Trains are fairly small. I think the full right-of-way is like 15, 20 feet wide. The rails themselves are only 5 feet apart, more or less. But a highway, on the other hand, I-99 in Port Matilda right now is 200 feet wide. That is an order of magnitude more money that you have to spend for property acquisition. You have to spend more on asphalt. It's just a wasteful use of materials.
All right. G4, who would use this rail system?
Several different groups. First off, myself, I don't own a car. I used to, but I sold it because I just honestly wasn't using it. I bicycle primarily around campus, mm-hmm. but then it's very difficult to actually get in and out of State College. But then also regular commuters. Many people are not straight-up car people. If you give them the option, a lot of people actually like to take transit because you can sit back, you can read, you can answer emails. It's a multi-productive time. You are both getting travel and also other things done. But if you're in a car, you have to pay 100% of your attention to driving in order to not careen off the road. And so, therefore, your time is wasted by not spending it on other things. So I think at least a sizable portion of people living in the area would be interested in taking transit over taking cars. But then also, remember, State College, Penn State is the largest employer in Center County by an order of magnitude. It employs 25,000 people. That's a very large agglomeration of jobs right in one very small walkable area. That's something that we could spread out to a bunch of other communities. Say if we build a train to Tyrone or even Altoona, all of a sudden you now have an easy, convenient connection for people who are already living in those cities in order to go to a major, very lucrative employer. It will take all of the money that's being spent here and spread it around in a more equitable way.
All right, Mr. Ironhead, I got a ton of questions. I'm having fun. You want to jump in here? Come on.
Do you think that enough people would be willing to take the train to make this a worthwhile venture? I'm just wondering how much it's going to take to maybe change the mindset of at least some of us, and I'll include me in the us.
I think it depends entirely on how well it's executed. There's a wide range in popularity of rail across the United States, and it's less more finding a transit place or a car place, and more a matter of just how good the train is built. For example, if you have traditional commuter rail, where you have only three trains into town in the morning, and then absolutely nothing over the afternoon, and then three trains out of town in the afternoon, that's not very flexible. And people generally don't enjoy doing that, because what if your meeting ends early, or your kid needs to be picked up from school? All of a sudden, you're then marooned at your job location until 5 p.m. But in other places where they have more expansive trains around the rest of the clock, when you have trains going both directions during peak, allowing reverse commuting, that's usually when people end up taking transit more. So I think, honestly, in terms of how many people use it, that's up to PennDOT. But if we look to nearby examples, the next nearest version of a train like this would be the River Line run by New Jersey Transit between Trenton and Camden. That was actually an incredibly successful line. They're currently in the process of doubling its length, building a whole second line. And if I'm correct, I think something like 80% of new jobs in the area after the DMU was built were specifically because of the DMU. So if they did not build the train, then the job growth would have been only 20% as big as it was. So I think that's mostly just people voting with their dollars. If there's a train there, you can see from the economic impacts that they decide to take it, whether or not any individual person is more a train person or a car person.
All right. Before we take a break, all right, now cost, obviously, is kind of important here. Now, you're saying, John, that the cost for this rail line plan would be less than the 8-mile highway they want to put in between Bowlesburg and Potter's Mill?
At least for the first phase, yes. I do understand that later expansions will obviously be more expensive, but I think a lot of that is just because we have so underinvested in rail transit that we have a lot of wasted time to make up for. But I can say that, again, according to Pennsylvania's published budgets, it is cheaper per mile to build and maintain a rail transit line than it is a highway line.
Now, a rail train, you kind of touched on this a couple minutes ago, all right? One knock against rail is that, okay, I have to hold to a train schedule, which I don't, you know, I may have to sit here and wait till the train shows up. Meanwhile, I can hop in my car and woof, off I go. So how do you combat that?
Frequency is freedom, is what advocates say. If I think they've done studies. They found that if you have about 4 or 5 trains per hour, so that's about a train every 12 or 15 minutes, that's about the time when people don't have to worry about holding to a train schedule. It's just a matter of show up to the train station, you don't even have to look at your watch, and you know that a train will be there soon enough. Meanwhile, yes, you can hop in your car and go wherever you want, but maybe not necessarily as fast as you want because of all the traffic. Even when it comes to weather, highways usually shut down earlier and for longer than rail transit routes because trains are bigger, heavier industrial machines that can just push through snow or rain much more readily.
All right. All right, let's take a commercial break here. All right, we're talking with G4, all right, John Gardner IV. Again, the website is fascinating. It really is. CenterCountyHighwayRevolt.org. Still not sure about the revolt part, but I have to work on that. All right, let's take a break. We have some more questions here. You're listening to Let's Talk on 98.7 The Fox, and we will return right after this.
From State College, Lock Haven, and Bellefonte, Central PA Sports Authority, Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox. Sports Radio 98.7, The Fox.
This summer, let Sports Radio 98.7 FM reward you with some exciting prizes in our Summer Splash Contest. This Father's Day weekend, make sure you join us for the 36th annual Bellefonte Cruise in downtown Bellefonte. Sign up today at these following locations to be a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest. Pimp, located at 136 South Harrison Road in Pleasant Gap. Fisher's Market at the Y in Milesburg. Maxwell Equipment, just off the Shiloh exit of Interstate 99 in State College. Dotter Equipment, Route 64 in Mill Hall. And at Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Let Sports Radio 98.7 The Fox make you a winner this summer with our Summer Splash Contest with Clearwater Pools and Spas in Center Hall. Keep listening for your next opportunity of being a finalist in our Summer Splash Contest with Sports Radio 98.7 FM The Fox.
The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise coming up Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th. Top-notch entertainment all weekend long. It starts out Friday night with an open cruise, a stock-off, the big car show on Saturday with over 30-plus classes of cars, trucks, and motorcycles on display. Plenty of sponsorship opportunities for you. Call 814-280-5881 or visit BelfontCruise.org. That's 814-280-5881 or BelfontCruise.org. The 36th Annual Historic Bellefonte Cruise, Father's Day weekend, June 13th and 14th.
Have you checked out our new website, 987thefox.info? When you do, be sure to scroll to the bottom, enter your email address. Then sometime soon, you'll be a 987 The Fox Insider with our newsletter feature, thoughts from some of our hosts that you won't get on our shows, messages from sponsors, and even special deals as an Insider newsletter exclusive. We'll take good care of your email address, no sharing or selling. Hope you'll join us on 987thefox.info and enter your email address at the bottom. Be an Insider, only from 987 The Fox.
Hey, how you doing? Welcome to XYZ Printing.
My son's soccer team is looking for new jerseys.
Well, I can do that.
Something in green with white lettering.
No problem at all. Right here in this box.
Those are white shirts.
Not for long.
Just because someone says they make custom t-shirts doesn't mean they're from PAMP.
What's the name of Yoon's team up there?
The Tigers.
Is that with one G or two?
For quality you can see and wear. Remember PAMP for customized t-shirts, letterheads, envelopes, magnetic signs, and business cards. PAMP has a low minimum of 12 shirts for printing and no minimum on embroidered items. They don't charge art fees or setup fees. Pricing is simple and easy, and they have a quick turnaround. They're open Monday through Friday from 7 a.m. to 5 p.m. Located at 136 South Harrison Road, Pleasant Gap. For more information, call 814-359-2447.
If you're like me, you have neighbors that have zero-turn mowers, and some are satisfied and others not so much. I've had neighbors come over while I'm mowing with my Kubota and want to try it out. I told Bob and Clyde, you need to get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64, for Kubota. I have a Z200 25 horsepower with the simplest operation and a pristine cut every time. Even though I have a lawn and, shall we say, a challenging bank, ditch, and of course the wife's ornamental bushes. If you're trying to decide on a great lawn care machine, get to Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. At Dodder Equipment, they're experts on Kubota lawn care machines that keep you moving quickly and efficiently. Your destination for Kubota is Dodder Equipment, just south of Mill Hall on Route 64. You may even meet my neighbors, Bob and Clyde.
Your sports radio!
Broadcasting live, loud and proud from Central PA Sports Authority.
Woo-hoo!
WFXS America.
98.7 The Foxy Knowledge.
It's Let's Talk here on a Thursday morning. Jeff and Scott with you. A little open phone time rolling your way later this hour.
All right. Again, interesting conversation with talking with John Gardner IV, G4, about a very interesting website. Folks, check it out. Even if you are 100% against, check it out anyway. Center County Highway Revolt. .org. All right, now G4, I looked at the website. There's a lot of stuff on there. I didn't look at everything. I mean, there's a ton of stuff on there, which is great. Now, you've got a line on there on the website that says, PennDOT is trying to build a billion-dollar highway that nobody asked for. John, that's not accurate. Come on, that's not accurate.
That is a lot of people, I will admit.
I mean, a lot of people have asked for this new road for years. Every time we have an accident where someone unfortunately dies on the current road, okay, somebody asks for it again. Two groups of people that would really use the road, all right, what about truckers? If we keep the skinny road that we have now, in other words, we don't change anything, all right, truckers are still going to be taking that road. They're not going to use trains, are they?
trains primarily haul freight. If anything, I'm trying to switch it around to the passenger side of things. But yeah, we definitely do have a lot of truckers going through the area, but they don't seem to be too much the problem, because the truckers are usually, in my experience, very safe drivers. They don't cause too much of a problem. I think the majority of users of the road, I think over 80%, are actually just regular passengers, and that's what I'm trying to resolve here. You're right that it is a very over-congested road, but I think that's largely because of a lack of options. If you want to get to or from State College and don't have $700 extra lying around for the premium from the local airport, you're kind of forced to drive along that. My thinking is, if you can just build an alternative, you're not necessarily going to take truckers off the road, but you're going to take everybody else off the road, freeing it up and making it easier for the truckers. No 200-foot-wide mega highway needed.
Okay. Now, football games. A few people show up for those?
So I've heard.
More than a few, actually. I mean, if this, let's say this somehow would happen, this train line, I mean, we're talking G4, like 150,000 people go to a football game.
Mm-hmm.
They're all going to take a train?
Yeah, in fact, they do in most other college towns. I think the state of Oklahoma funds something called the Big Game Day Train. They have an extra long operation that runs between Fort Worth and Oklahoma City to help with the football games, I think, in, what is it, Normal, Oklahoma? In fact, University of Michigan, Ann Arbor, they have six different trains a day going across the state from Chicago to Detroit that serve their football games. Bloomington, Normal, Indiana, Rochester, New York. They all have intercity rail transit options for all of their fairly major sports universities, and we do not. I'm just simply bringing us up in comparison to all of the other universities out there.
Now, again, John, to make this fly, you'd have to have multiple trains every day.
Yep. No, but again, what we're looking for mostly is a train every 15 minutes. So it would be used mostly by commuters and to get around town first, but then you're building the infrastructure in order to scale it up for major football games.
All right, now maybe we need to find a train, because when I think of a train, I think of a big, long train.
Mm-hmm.
There's all these cars. That's not what, is that what this is? You'd have big, long trains every 15 minutes?
Not big, long trains. These are smaller things called diesel multiple units, or DMUs. Probably the closest example that we have has been running in New Jersey for, I think it turns 21 this year, the River Line. These are, they're not as small as a car. They're about maybe two or three times as long as a bus. They have two large segments and then a smaller power pack in the middle, and they run on three trucks, six axles. I think they're about maybe 60, 75 feet long. So if you have, you of course can have like bigger, longer trains. You can attach them together, multiple cars. But the most important part of this, again, frequency is freedom. If you take a big long train and separate it apart into much smaller pieces and then send those pieces down every 15 or so minutes, then all of a sudden you have the same person capacity but increased flexibility, because again, it's coming so frequently you don't have to worry about schedules at all.
So every particular run would be like three cars?
About, yes.
Something like that.
Okay. Maybe about as long as one of the articulated buses that CATA uses. Maybe a touch longer. But yeah, about that size.
Okay. Now, have you contacted state lawmakers about this? Because obviously Harrisburg, PennDOT, whatever, has got to get involved. Have you contacted them? And if so, what's the reaction been?
Yes, I have. State Representative Paul Takac, I've met with him several times. He is very interested in this project. He has brought up rail to Center County for a long time. I think he sat on the state-level transportation commission. But it seems that PennDOT has largely not been listening to him as much. So a part of why we turned this into a formal highway revolt is if everybody is talking about it and everybody is contacting both his office and other state reps and PennDOT, then all of a sudden PennDOT will have to listen rather than just one lone state representative trying to get this to happen.
All right. Ironhead, you got something there?
Yeah, no, I think, you know, I'm just think like St. Louis is the one that just because the NCAA wrestling championships have been there a bunch of times. And they, I will say, their rail system, like getting from the airport to just about anywhere in and around St. Louis is phenomenal.
Mm-hmm.
And very, very convenient. And just like you're saying, the frequency, it's like, well, if we just missed it, yeah, we're going to have to wait 10 or 12 minutes, whatever it is. It's not very long. And then here comes the next one. And again, the... it is. It's very convenient, and it's it does ease the congestion for sure. In terms of vehicular traffic, like in and around their hockey arena downtown, which is where the wrestling championships usually are. So, yeah, I'm just thinking through it. It's an intriguing concept at the very least, and I think I'm surprised the PennDOT's not at least listening to look at the potential value here versus the cost of the roadways.
I think part of it is that PennDOT is largely a road-based organization. They do a lot of their highway design and whatnot in-house, and while they do fund transit, they usually just shuffle the money over to other agencies, like SEPTA for the regional rail, PRT for the buses in Pittsburgh, yeah. And then Amtrak for the Keystone. And so when your toolbox only contains a hammer, every problem looks like a nail.
Now, I think, G4, on the website, buses is in there somewhere.
Yes.
What about buses?
So we would also want to have a frequent express bus running from State College along 322 to, I think, Milroy and Lewistown. And that would provide just, again, more transit flexibility in the system. First off, each bus can hold upwards of 200 people. So if you have, say, three buses an hour, all of a sudden, that's 600 potential cars off the road every single hour. Again, no need for a major four-lane highway. The existing road is more than capable of taking the demand if you put the correct vehicles into service. So this particular bus would be mostly for people who live in Lewistown. There are a lot of faculty members and graduate students and whatnot on campus who their spouses work in Harrisburg or maybe Hershey, and Lewistown is an inconvenient middle ground for them. And both parties have to drive over an hour each day in order to get to and from their works. But if there was something like an express bus, again, not only taking the cars off of 322 with a better tool, you also would then make it more easy, convenient, and cheap to live in Lewistown for people to then commute back up the hill to State College.
All right, buses with 200 people?
Yeah. The articulated buses that are running right now, they can hold almost 200 people in them.
Mm-hmm. Do they hold 200? This would be like two buses linked together to be one bus, or is it three?
Two. Bendy buses, they're amusingly called.
Yeah. Okay, yeah, which I've seen some of those. I've never ridden one, but I've seen those around here.
Oh, it's fun. I think they have seats, or you can stand in the middle of the articulated section, and the giant accordion just expands around you. It's so trippy and fun. It's our own little local funhouse.
Okay, G4. That's weird, man. holy moly. Now, you're obviously really into this stuff. And on your website, you have something about, you know, roads, you know, building more roads. You have harming the economy.
Yes.
Just explain this.
So I think maybe I can start with a fun joke. This is one I always love. What do trains carry? Do you know?
What do trains carry?
Passenger trains, yes.
People?
No, wallets.
They carry wallets.
Yes. Okay. So a lot of people say that trains are a bad form of transit because it's not flexible. I think it's actually the very permanence that makes them important. And especially in the most recent streetcar era, since I think, 2001 in Portland, Oregon, when the first modern streetcar was built, people have noticed something, that the area within about a 15-minute walk shed of a train station it booms. It has more tax revenue, it has more growth, more construction, and that's largely because whenever you have some rails in the ground and a station, that is a visible commitment to developers and homeowners and business owners that there will always be people within that the vicinity of that station. And it has been shown that the return on investment for rail spending is higher than that of highways, because when you have a car, you can go wherever you want, whenever you want, but that's almost as much a liability, because then you can go absolutely anywhere and no one place becomes special. But if you have a rail transit line, then you know that the areas in the vicinity of the station are going to become vibrant, interesting, walkable communities.
All right, now, G4, help me out here. You don't want to take cars away from people.
No, I want to give them options. Or, excuse me, I want to give myself an option. I'm just masquerading this as a highway revolt.
Okay, all right. But, I mean, that's not the some ultimate goal here. Like, no more cars. We're all going to take trains now.
Oh, of course not, no. All I want is, so we have three different highways going into this valley, but we have zero long-distance rail routes, and we have zero long-distance bicycle trails. Why do we need a fourth highway when the equation is already unbalanced?
All right. Now, just yesterday, now this is from California, All right. Funding for high-speed rail out there apparently is being pulled. They've spent a lot of money. Nothing's been built. This was a high-speed rail line that was supposed to go from, like, L.A. to San Francisco,
yep.
And then it got reduced greatly to just the Central Valley. Now the Trump folks are like, this is a waste of money. We're not paying any more money. And the whole thing's, like, stuck. Now, that could happen with this, yes or no?
Not necessarily, especially because this uses existing government-owned rail lines, especially the first phase or two will be a lot easier to build than California High-Speed Rail. In part, so California High-Speed Rail, that's a high-speed rail line. You have to have ultra-flat, ultra-straight rights-of-way that go on for hundreds of miles, and you can't bend it around different obstacles, and so you have to pay all of the farmers exorbitant amounts of money in order to buy up their land because they know that there's no other option for you to get around. But what we're proposing here is, again, we already have active government-owned railroad lines that run from the Amtrak station in Tyrone to within 2 miles of downtown State College. All you have to do, plug that tiny 2-mile gap, buy a few vehicles, and then start them running. It will be much easier to build this project than California High-Speed Rail.
Can you run a rail line from Lewistown to State College?
Actually, yes, you can, just not to American standards. So one of the more interesting trips that I went on was my sister decided to go to grad school in Zurich, Switzerland, the Swiss Alps. I decided to go to graduate school in the Rust Belt. I think I'm moving the wrong direction in my life.
Yeah.
But, of course, the moment that she was in the Swiss Alps, every long-lost family member and friend imposed upon her in order to have a free tour of the Alps. And one of the interesting things that they had there was they developed, and I'm not too familiar with it myself, but it's really interesting, kind of hybrid rack railway, regular railway trains. And so instead of having only trains in the flatlands, and then maybe you take a cable car up a mountain, and then only trains in that higher mountain valley, this is really interesting. These are normal trains that run at like 60 miles an hour, highway-ish speeds, and then all of a sudden they come to, on their exact same line, a short rack railway segment, and they go up a really steep, like 20% or 30% grade for maybe a mile or two, gain a lot of elevation, and then they continue at normal railroad speeds after that. So in theory, it is possible. Unfortunately, since it hasn't actually been done in America at the moment, we don't have any of the manufacturers set up, we don't have any of the expertise, so doing that will be a lot more expensive. So in some fantasy far-off world, yes, I absolutely would love to see a railroad line to Lewistown, but in the meanwhile, I think we should start with the low-hanging fruit.
Okay. Well, to wrap up, now again, the website is Center County, I just forgot, CenterCountyHighwayRevolt.org. All right, now G4, if someone's listening like, I want to know more about that, I want to be part of that, what should they do?
Check out the website. We have a whole page for taking action. I personally curated all of the emails for all of the local government officials anywhere that this project could go. So just scroll to your county, your municipality, send them a few emails. Find your state representative and your state senator, send them a few emails. And then go and find the emails for the PennDOT district managers and their multimodal offices and tell them that instead of a highway, you would like a modern, frequent regional rail line instead.
Yeah, on the website, G4, I found your email address through there, and through, I guess, call it a pre-populated email, where you had the line, I'm prepared to launch a hostile takeover of PennDOT. And I'm thinking, G4, no, I don't think you want to do that. But, I mean,
there are a few Easter eggs around the website like that.
An Easter egg, okay. I mean, it's fascinating. I've mentioned, I love trains when I get it. You know, if I was going to downtown Philadelphia, I'd go to Lewistown, get on the Pennsylvanian, if the schedule works,
mm-hmm.
and take it to Philadelphia, have a good time, come on back, because Philadelphia traffic is, bad. So good luck on this effort, and maybe you've got my email address now. You know, keep us up to date on any new developments or anything like that.
Excellent. Thank you so much for having me. This has been really fun.
Thank you. Very, very interesting.
And you were the train guy in Bowlesburg. I'm like, this guy's just talking about trains the whole time. I'm like, what the heck? It's you.
Oh, no, I'm developing a reputation.
well, hopefully a good one. All right. So thanks for coming in.
Yeah, appreciate it.
Very